raise your glasses.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us this morning. A couple of behemoths of the tech world are toasting their marriage today, while the rest of the world waits to see how it affects everyone else. Big ticket items? People still aren't buying. And Ford is hoping that'll change with its new Taurus. It's the morning open, a look at the economy as we start the trading day, just about 20 minutes in. And here's a question. Where's Wall Street? Down right now, the S&P down 0.5%, same for the NASDAQ, the Dow down about 0.33%. European markets mainly higher right now by about 1%, maybe 1.5%. In Asia, shares mostly lower. The benchmark Shanghai Index lost about 5% today. Hong Kong down too. Microsoft and Yahoo have made it official. They're forming a partnership to take on search engine and online advertising champ Google. The 10-year deal will allow Microsoft to apply its Bing search engine to Yahoo sites. And then Yahoo gets the majority of revenue from online ads in that partnership for a while. Kara Swisher writes a blog for the Dow Jones website All Things Digital. She says the deal, unlike some past proposals, probably won't run into any antitrust issues.
Google tried to strike a deal like this with Yahoo a full year ago, and one of the problems with the Yahoo-Google deal, which I called Yahoo-Google, was that advertisers didn't like it at all. In this case, advertisers do want a second strong competitor to Google because Google essentially dominates everything, and nobody wants a single company to dominate in any arena. And so while there's no Yahoo-Google, there is going to be a Microhoo. That's what I call them. Or Yasoft. You can call it Yasoft, whatever.
And how significant a challenge will this pose to Google?
Well, Google's still over 60%, and this combination creates a 30% market share. It's still not going to be tomorrow. Google's not going to lose all the market share it has. Google has huge advantages because of its scale, and it's hard to turn that around, as everybody knows, from Microsoft in the operating system business. So it at least gets them in the game, and that's what advertisers need. They need the scale so that they will advertise on it. And now we'll see how they perform.
All right. Kara Swisher is an editor, and she writes a blog over at All Things Digital. Kara, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Let's talk with Doug Foreman now, director of equities at Highmark Capital. He's joining us live from San Francisco. Hi, Doug.
Good morning, Steve.
So is this really going to change the game for Microsoft and Yahoo?
Well, I think it'll improve their position a little bit, but this sort of strikes me as, you know, two 25-pound chimps getting together trying to take a swing at a couple hundred-pound gorilla. You know, they've got their work cut out for them, and partnerships like this are difficult to manage, but I agree that it definitely will improve their competitive position and give advertisers a more credible second source.
You know, Doug, because this has been going on for so long and we've heard so many variations of this, does that mean it sort of lost its luster?
Yeah, I think advertisers will be pleased with it. I think customers overall will benefit somewhat from having a second choice. But, yeah, it falls short of what people were hoping for, say, 12 months ago, that's for sure.
I want to talk a little bit about durable goods. We heard from the government this morning that those big-ticket items are down, took a big dip last month, cars, refrigerators, airplanes. We'd been seeing some boosts in that area. How much of a setback is that?
Well, I think we're at the point in the cycle in terms of an early recovery where we're getting a lot of ups and downs. And particularly in big ticket items like aircraft and machinery, et cetera, you know, we're not far enough along in this recovery to expect any sort of steady state recovery there yet. And what we're seeing in the number today is a lot of weakness in civilian aircraft orders. So I guess all those corporate jets are being cut back on.
All right. Doug Foreman joining us from San Francisco this morning. Doug, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
So in a few weeks, just a few weeks, we're going to start seeing the new 2010 Ford Taurus showing up and showing off at showrooms across the country. The original one helped turn Ford around back in the 1990s. This time, Ford is taking a calculated risk in marketing the Taurus as its flagship image-changing vehicle. From Michigan Radio, Tracy Samilton reports.
When Ford unveiled the Taurus in 1986, there was nothing like it on the road. Its aerodynamic shape was unique for a midsize family sedan. It was roomy, it was affordable, and it had thoughtful, unexpected features like side visors. Car and Driver editor Eddie Alterman says the Taurus hit that elusive sweet spot.
It was incredibly good looking, it was built well, and it was fun to drive.
the formula worked. Between 1992 and 1996, the Taurus was the best-selling car in the country, accounting for about 13% of Ford's total sales. Paul Eisenstein heads research firm DetroitBureau.com.
It was the last time Detroit has overwhelmingly dominated the most important segment of the passenger car market.
So what happened? Eisenstein says lackluster redesigns took the car's popularity for granted. By 2006, only rental car companies were buying the Taurus. Now, Ford is putting the Taurus name on what's really a different car. Mike Crowley is Ford's head of marketing for cars and crossovers. He says the first thing to go was the jelly bean shape.
We really need to have a design that captured people's imagination and really changed their perception.
And on the inside, the car is loaded with high-tech options, usually found only on luxury vehicles, like radar blind spot detection and voice-activated navigation. Paul Eisenstein of DetroitBureau.com says this could be a risky transition for Ford. Consumers expecting something similar to the old Taurus could be confused. And this car is being targeted at men in their 40s and 50s. Even if it catches on, it won't be selling 400,000 units a year.
We're talking perhaps 50, 60, if they're lucky, 70,000 vehicles a year. So it's a completely different type of product, and it will have to be judged on a very different scale.
Still, some analysts think this sophisticated sedan could help spark an image makeover for both the nameplate and the company, and that's exactly what Ford wants. By September, the Taurus lover, skeptic, or newbie can get a look at the new model at their local dealership. I'm Tracy Samilton for Marketplace.
Check out photos of the new Taurus at our website, marketplace.org. Finally, don't count on your iPhone to give you Google Voice. Apple reportedly said no this week to Google Voice as an app. Google Voice offers things such as cheap international calls, even a single phone number for a lot of users' phones, a lot of tech bloggers pointing the fingers at AT&T because they offer the same services Google Voice provides for free. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being here. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.